Good morning. Welcome to the Arizona Sex Offender Management Board meeting. We are waiting for a few more board members, so we're going to give another 10 or so minutes for that before we'll start the meeting. We do not have a quorum at this time.
Good morning, Major.
Good morning, Jim. I think you missed the announcement. We don't have a quorum, so we're giving you just a few extra minutes here before we start the meeting.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
We're still waiting for a quorum to be able to start the meeting.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to call this meeting to order. It is June 22nd at 9:49 a.m. This is the regular meeting of the Arizona Sex Offender Management Board. At this time, I'll ask Major Mitchell to call the roll.
Chairwoman Golden is present. Ms. Atkins?
Present.
Mr. Barney?
Present.
Dr. Blades?
Present.
Ms. Breed?
Present.
Ms. Chapman?
Present.
Mr. Cook?
Present.
Supervisor Fanning?
Present.
Mr. Hanratty? Mr. Hanratty, you said you lost audio. Is there, can you call in if I give you a phone number?
Yeah, do you want me to give it to you? Well, please pop in. 602. If you want to call him and put him on your phone.
That's much.
7.
Hello, sorry about that.
Hey, Jim.
Hi. My laptop's doing an unexplicable reboot. It does that from time to time in the morning, so I can't control it.
Okay, that's fine, but I have you on speaker for now, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Mr. Hanratty is present. Mr. Kilroy?
Present.
Ms. Krejci?
Present.
Dr. Miller?
Present.
Mr. Neal?
Present.
Mr. Pawlowski?
Present.
Dr. Rivera?
Present.
Judge Young?
Present.
Dr. Gray?
Present.
Right. We do have a quorum. We have excused Ms. Balson, Judge Cohen, Major Griego, Ms. Kozarowski, Ms. Loki, Supervisor McClure, Ms. Music, Mr. Nagley, and Ms. Panis. And Representative Powell is also absent. And Ms. Oppheim is absent. So you do have a quorum.
Thank you. We will now move to the call to the public. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address the board. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. A timer will sound to help speakers manage their time. When the timer indicates that time has expired, speakers are expected to promptly conclude their remarks. I would like to remind all speakers that public comment time limits are in place to ensure fairness and allow all individuals the opportunity to be heard. The board also accepts written public comments. Please note that in accordance with open meeting laws, the board cannot discuss or take action on items that are not specifically identified on the agenda. Therefore, action taken as a result of public comment will be limited to directing staff to study the matter, responding to any criticism, or scheduling the matter for further consideration and decision at a later date. When Major Mitchell calls you to come forward, please state your name and organization, if applicable, for the record. Major Mitchell?
First up today is Michelle Stevenson, followed by Gary Hardy, and then Darren Stanley. Michelle, we'll be unmuting you. Okay, Michelle, you can begin.
Okay, thank you. Dear members of the Arizona, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Dear members of the Arizona SOM, my name is Michelle Stevenson, and I am an Oregonian. My pronouns are she, her. I am here today because a former Arizona Sex Offender Monitoring Board member, Peter Morey, was my psychiatrist long ago. Peter did me harm. I was coerced to continue seeing him after asking my lawyer if I could switch psychiatrists. Peter was supposed to be an expert witness to support me in civil litigation regarding child sexual abuse in my church. Maury lost his Oregon medical license in 2010 because of, among other things, inappropriate boundary violations and inappropriate touching. In my last phone conversation with him, he told me, "My license has been suspended for doing the exact same things I've done with you." He did not, as stated in one board meeting, leave medicine because of burnout. He left because he surrendered his license after an emergency suspension. He hired one of the best medical malpractice lawyers in the state of Oregon to facilitate a less professionally damaging surrender of his license. He also got sued for medical negligence and, according to paperwork, appears to have settled. Speaking from my own experience, there was real harm in his actions as a psychiatrist. I wrote this information to Som in time for my letter to be published for the May release of public comments. Unfortunately, somebody decided to not publish that letter, even though I had specified I wanted it public to help others. This is unfortunate. It takes a lot of courage for survivors to speak up. It costs us something. Stifling survivor voices while choosing to publish the voices of Arizonans for rational sex offense laws is problematic and definitely doesn't center victims. We speak out and let people know about our experiences because predators thrive in silence and darkness. I was seeing Peter as my psychiatrist from 2008 to 2010 in reference to being raped and tortured by serial predator Scott Douglas Harrison in my church as a young child. I strongly alleged in my lawsuit against the Seventh-day Adventist Church that my dad's best friends, the pastors of my childhood church, knew about Scott's proclivities and kept it secret so that he could heal and be redeemed. The pastors gave him a glowing reference to work at the Oregon School of the Blind. At the School for the Blind, where students were the most vulnerable, often boarders, and quite young, another employee walked in on Scott raping and torturing a blind, mute, deaf, autistic child. Scott then confessed to raping and sexually assaulting and sexually torturing dozens of children. This was 1994. I was nine. I alleged in my 2007 lawsuit against the SDA Church that the harm against children in Salem, Oregon by Scott Douglas Harrison was completely preventable. This is what happens when survivors are silenced and crimes are covered up. The abuse continues and more innocents are horribly hurt. I have more, but I'll stop now. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary Hardy.
There we go. Madam Chairman, members of the board, my name is Gary Hardy. I'm the co-founder of Collaborative Justice Initiative, member of the public, and was formerly incarcerated for 17 years. During the 17 years, a miracle happened. I earned a PhD in organizational leadership, and that's why I stand before you today. Albert Einstein said, "We're not going to solve the problems with the same thinking by which we created them." What I know is that in the late 18th century, William Wilberforce, a member of Parliament in Great Britain, sought to abolish the slave trade. What he did, he arranged a boat trip for the members of Parliament to put them directly alongside a slave ship so they could witness the horrific reality firsthand. He famously told them, "You may choose to look away, but you can no longer say that you didn't know." Today, we face a different form of systematic blindness. In his book, Think Again, organizational psychologist Adam Grant warns that when we confront highly charged, controversial issues, we tend to fall into three counterproductive mindsets. We think like prosecutors, driven to find guilt and punish. We think like preachers, intent on moralizing and shaming, or like politicians, reacting purely to public fear and opinion. But Grant argues as a preferred method, that is, thinking like a scientist that actively seeks the truth, tests hypotheses, and ruthlessly engages in their own and challenges their own biases. I ask this board of therapists, probation officers, legal professionals to step out of your professional box for just a moment. Imagine if your child, a spouse, a sibling you dearly love, was caught in the throes of a behavioral addiction and committed a sex offense. If you approach them as a prosecutor, a preacher, or a politician, would you help them heal, or would you merely isolate them and break them? As clinicians and experts, we already know that nearly the data that nearly every individual who commits a hands-on offense, particularly against children, was a victim of severe abuse and adverse childhood experiences themselves. So we ask, does our current containment model, which relies on permanent scrutiny, social exile, actually help them do better, or does it just make the public feel better? While we cannot solve every systematic issue politically, this board has the power to transform them structurally. We can change providers, we can change mandates, we can change standards, we can recommend humane supervision. We can no longer say we do not know what works. It's time to stop thinking like prosecutors, preachers, and politicians, and have the courage to think like scientists and view people not as labels, but as redeemed human beings. Thank you.
Thank you.
Darren Stanley.
Good morning, Madam Chairperson and members of the board. Thank you for allowing me the time to speak today. Darren Stanley, registered citizen for life as of now. 12 years, one day, former inmate of ADOC, not that I was counting or anything. Today, I will not be talking about specific bills by numbers, as I usually do, but please don't support, in general, bills that remove judicial review, basic human rights, freedom, and normalcy. First, good news for me, not so good news for you. I am in full remission from my leukemia and have received my last treatment, so you're not getting rid of me that easy. On a more serious note, my ETOP was denied. As I have told you before, I thought it was necessary to do so because of pending legislation in this state. Two of the main reasons I was denied was I have not reached my 2-year mark out of group therapy and my 5-year mark in the community. I am at 1.5 years out of group therapy and nearly 4 years in the community. These minimum guidelines are not written in stone or mandatory, yet everyone seems to think they are mandatory and acts as if they are. There is no independent thinking or assessing going on. As my own probation officer told me, Mr. Stanley, you are not even on my radar, but I have to recommend the 2 years out of group, so I can't recommend your early termination. I reminded him of the 7 months in staffing with Mountain Valley where nothing was accomplished. It was as if they were angry that I completed the program so fast. I never received any kind of credit for completing this program in prison. However, that's why I was able to achieve my rapid completion of the program. As someone who completed this program in prison, I can assure you, and Ms. Adkins can verify, that there is nowhere near enough room for everyone that wants to take it in prison. I spent 6 years at Cook Unit, where not only was there no SOATP programming available, when I went to see the staff therapist, she said she couldn't treat me because she didn't know how to treat sex offenders. The therapist on an SO yard. In a recent SOM meeting, I heard absolute misinformation about therapy in prison. I wanted so badly to interrupt and call that out. However, from what I understand, that is not allowed. That is the reason that someone like me, who lives this life every day and is the recipient of the hate, negativity, and prejudice, should be on this board. As I end most of my speeches here, my number and email are all available to any of you who would like to speak to me or have me come in and speak to a subcommittee. However, if you email me, it will take some time for me to respond, as I still do not have any computer usage, even though my offense had nothing to do with the computer. My sister has the burden of doing all that email correspondence. Thank you for your commitment to this board and your time.
Thank you. Madam Chair, that concludes the call to the public. I would like to just say we do have 3 board members participating virtually, 2 telephonically, to make a quorum of 17. If anyone needs to leave, please let me know before leaving or text me on my cell phone.
Thank you. We'll begin with some old business with the status of some legislation. HB 2870 died in Senate Rules Committee. HB 2966 died in Senate Rules Committee. SB 1829 died in House Judiciary Committee. SB 1240 died from lack of House floor votes. SB 1239 died from lack of House floor votes, as did SB 1709. Now we're going to move into the discussion and potential adoption of adult guiding principles. Last month, the board tabled discussion and adoption of the adult guiding principles to allow board members the opportunity to provide additional comments in writing. Written comments were received and incorporated into the current version. If there's no further discussion at this time, I will entertain a motion for the board to adopt the proposed adult guiding principles.
Shane Neal, motion to adopt guiding principles for adult.
Do I have a second?
Blake Barney, I second.
Major Mitchell, could we do a roll call vote on this?
Chairwoman Golden?
Yes.
Ms. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Barney?
Yes.
Dr. Blades?
Yes.
Ms. Breed?
Yes.
Ms. Chapman?
Yes.
Detective Cook?
Yes.
Supervisor Fanning?
Yes.
Dr. Gray?
Yes.
Mr. Hanratty?
Yes.
Mr. Kelroy?
Yes.
Ms. Krejci?
Yes.
Dr. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Neal?
Yes.
Mr. Pawlowski?
Yes.
Dr. Rivera?
Yes.
Judge Young?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes with 17 yes, no no's, and no abstentions.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And thank you for the feedback received as well. I'm going to skip down at this time to the discussion of the draft victim impact and victim-centered approach. I'm going to open it up at this time to any discussion or comments, thought on that document. If there's no additional discussion or comments, I will entertain a motion to adopt the victim impact and victim-centered approach document by this board.
Amanda Atkins, motion to include the victim impact.
Shane Neal, second.
Thank you, Major Mitchell, at this time.
Chairwoman Golden?
Yes.
Ms. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Barney?
Yes.
Dr. Blades?
Yes.
Ms. Breed?
Yes.
Ms. Chapman?
Yes.
Detective Cook?
Yes.
Supervisor Fanning?
Yes.
Mr. Hanratty?
Yes.
Mr. Kelroy?
Yes.
Ms. Krejci?
Yes.
Dr. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Neal?
Yes.
Mr. Pawlowski?
Yes.
Dr. Rivera?
Yes.
Judge Young?
Yes.
Dr. Gray?
Yes.
17, Madam Chair, the motion passes with 17 yes, no no's, and no abstentions.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone. At this time, I'm going to ask Dr. Blade to lead us in a discussion to provide us an update on the standardized pre-sentence investigations and sex offender specific evaluation protocol. And I believe this was also in the provided in the background packet as well. But do you mind, Dr. Blade, just leading us and kind of giving us an update on that document and where we're at?
Sure. So, after discussion of the proposal at the last board meeting, we reviewed the proposal again during the adult subcommittee meeting, including the additional board member input that we had received. So at this point, we are researching some of the elements that are in the proposal and considering revisions to those, and then we're hopeful that we'll have some an updated, revised proposal to the board in August if we're able to do that.
Are there any additional comments or thoughts on that at this time, or we'll just have the
go ahead.
This is Katie Crutchy. I just wanted to update. I know I did attend the adult subcommittee meeting, and I know one of the proposals was kind of discussing when else potentially these assessments could be done, because I think there was kind of an agreement that some sort of assessment should be done at some point. And I know one of the ideas suggested was perhaps like when someone's still in jail prior to being released or in prison prior to being released, there would be an opportunity to do some of these assessments there. And I know some of the providers had a concern of the ability to do these assessments in jail. And I didn't think of this then, and I just wanted to bring it up as you guys continue to have the conversation that oftentimes people are held in custody between the, you know, either pre-plea until the time of sentencing or after their plea until the time of sentencing. And I know the current, like, initial proposal was to do it between the time of plea and time of sentencing. And so that concern may still exist for providers that people are going to be in a jail setting, and I know there's limitations on I'm doing the full assessment there as part as you continue that discussion.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Madam
this
Chair.
Is a what was that?
Madam Chair, this is Shanda Breed.
Oh yes. Thank you, Shanda.
Thank you so much. I just want to thank the subcommittee for this pause and consideration and thoroughness. I think that to have some sort of evaluation before sentencing is very crucial. But as stated before, it impacts different intercepts of the system, which need to be well thought out. I do have some ideas. Is the subcommittee open to accepting some feedback on this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much. And is there a time frame?
It's helpful, I think, to the subcommittee to have comments prior to the meeting if they're written, just so that everybody's able to read them and prepare. I'd have to look up the date of the next exact meeting.
Jenna Mitchell, the next meeting date is July 29th for the adult subcommittee. So if we could get comments by then, that would be helpful.
Great. Thank you for that consideration.
And yes, Shanna, thank you. And either you can also attend the subcommittee, of course, if it fits in your schedule, or any prior comments in writing before would be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is just a reminder to board members. Any proposed revisions to ARS 133828 is due August 3rd by noon. So that is revisions to the statute that is the Arizona Sex Offender Management Board statute. Moving on to discussion of juvenile psychosexual evaluation assessments by county. Major Mitchell.
Madam Chair.
Please.
Anna Young, I'm on the juvenile subcommittee.
Thank you.
And at our last meeting, we had a conversation about the different assessments that juvenile courts are receiving for psychosexuals on juveniles. And so what I did is I chair the Committee on Juvenile Courts for the state. So I sent an email after our Thursday meeting to all the presiding juvenile judges, as well as all of the probation chief juvenile court directors around the state. And I asked them, I said, here's the list of assessments that I'm seeing in psychosexual evaluations. Are you guys seeing the same assessments? Are you seeing additional assessments? And so Major Mitchell was kind enough to make it look beautiful. It's much prettier than when I sent the information in. And so it's broken down by county what the different assessments are that everybody is seeing. Because of the short time frame, because I only sent the email Thursday afternoon during our subcommittee meeting, I gave everybody until the following Monday at noon to get back to me. And I only heard back from seven counties, including Yavapai. And so my goal is between now and the next juvenile subcommittee to try to reach out personally to the other counties and just see if they've got any additional information. So that way we can have a really robust discussion of what the psychosexual evaluations are looking like.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Madam Chair.
Yes.
Jenna Mitchell.
Please.
Judge Young, thank you for that compliment. It all goes to Ashley Schiff. when I called her and asked her to put it into a spreadsheet, she had already created the spreadsheet. So that's how good Ashley Shea is. And if it may be helpful for those counties that haven't responded, we could provide this to you blank for the counties to check and send back to if you'd like us to do that.
That would be fantastic. Thank
Great.
You.
We'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Please.
We're also at the AOC reviewing this with our contracted providers that perform this, so they'll also have additional assessments if there's any missing numbers.
Excellent. Thank you. At this time, we'll do some subcommittee reports. Dr. Blades?
Okay, so at the adult subcommittee, as I said before, there was discussion of the evaluation protocol, the proposal. We're continuing to research and revise that proposal, as well as as that is going on in the background, beginning discussion of the components of an evaluation, a psychosexual evaluation, and what that would look like in terms of the purpose, the structure, the assessments, kind of what would be included. So that's how we're moving it forward.
Thank you, Dr. Blades. At this time, I will call for any future agenda items. Anybody has any? If not, please feel free to email those in. Before we adjourn, I do want to let you know we will be having a Department of Justice presentation regarding the Sex Offender Registration and Notification, otherwise known as SORNA, Act at our August 3rd meeting. So I think that'll be a really good one. Thank you for arranging that for us. As we continue to discuss registration and things of that nature, we'll be getting a presentation next month on that topic. There's nothing else. Does anybody else have anything they want to discuss or? Okay. Go. Did you?
Okay.
Agenda item.
Maybe we can add an agenda item, but I just wanted to comment, I guess, based on this juvenile evaluations assessment by county, I found this really helpful and informative. And I noticed there were some counties missing. I'm glad that we understand why. I don't know if it's possible to create one for the adults as well, but just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have to add as a future item agenda or if that could just be a comment based on the juvenile list we have.
Okay, we can work on gathering. Okay, thank you. Okay, I will entertain a motion for us to adjourn. If there's anything else.
Adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you all so much. We have to vote.
You should.
Let's vote on adjournment. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Thank you.
Have a great day. Be safe.
Thank you.
You don't want to do that.